Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject Tajweed 1. Book Recitation of the Holy Quran. Teacher Shaykh Maysam Sadiq. Lesson number 1.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. At the very outset, I would like to thank our Lord, to thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for granting us the opportunity to be at the service and to be learning the Holy Quran, His Holy Word, and to get the blessings from the Holy Quran, inshallah. As you know, in this series, we are, inshallah, going to study the second book of the series on the Tajweed, or on the Quran recitation. So there is the first book, which is for the recitation and for the beginners, which deals with the alphabet and getting familiar with the Arabic alphabet and the pronunciation of the Arabic alphabet and getting some sort of fluency in pronouncing the Arabic letters and words. The second book, which is this book that we are going to study, inshallah, in this course, is the first level of Tajweed in this series. So, inshallah, we are going to start the process of learning Tajweed. So, supposedly, those who attend this course are supposed to be studying the Tajweed for the first time. So we are going to start with the basics of Tajweed, which covers like the precise pronunciation of the letters and the rules of Tajweed, some basic rules of Tajweed. And then the third series, the third book of this series is the second level of Tajweed, which is a little bit in more depth of Tajweed and the Tajweed rules. So inshallah, we will start with the book. The first part, the first section of the book is the introduction, and there are two hadiths from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the Quran. The first one is نوروا بيوتكم بتلاوة القرآن. Enlighten your homes by reciting the Quran, because the Quran actually is light. And it is the light that takes us out of darkness, out of the darkness of this material world in which we are. And actually the Holy Quran itself refers to itself as being light. On many occasions the Holy Quran refers to itself, or basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Holy Quran as light, as nur, as we have in one of the verses in the Holy Quran, which says قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, a light has come from your Lord to you, and a book. So the Holy Quran is nur, the letters, the words. So Basically, the process of learning the Quran is a process of getting blessing, because we are dealing with the words, with the letters of the Holy Quran, and we are trying to learn these letters and these words, which are the words of God, the holiest words on earth. And the second hadith is أفضل العبادة قراءة القرآن. The best act of worship, the best religious ritual is the recitation of the Holy Quran. So there are some explanations about this, and as it is clear, the tajweed that we are teaching in this course is based on the tajweed of the riwayah of Hafs and Asim, because you probably know that there are different riwayat of the Holy Quran, different ways of recitation. And seven of these methods, or seven of these riwayat, are famous, are more famous than the others. So one of these riwayat is the riwaya of Hafs and Asim, which is the most prevailing riwaya of the Holy Quran in the Muslim countries. In most of the Muslim countries, people recite the Quran in the riwaya of Hafs and Asim. And just to give you a little bit of elaboration on this, the other riwayat of the Quran are also the same as this, the same Quran. They are basically all the same. There is only one Quran, but they are slightly different in the pronunciation of some of the words. That is the only difference. Sometimes the difference has to do with the tajweed rules, like the length of the vowels and things like that. So the tajweed that we are going to study and learn in this course is according to the Hafs and Asim, to the riwayah of Hafs and Asim. The second section of the book is recitation manners. Actually, for any action that we want to do, there are manners that we have to observe. Like whatever you want to do, if you want to study a book, if you want to do anything, there are certain things that you do to in order to be able to do what you want in a proper way. For reciting the Holy Quran also, there are manners that we need to observe before embarking on the recitation of the Quran. Some of these are recommended, and some of them, and in some circumstances, are obligatory or wajib. So, starting with the first one, it is recommended to do wudu, or ablution, ritual ablution. So if we want to start reciting the Holy Quran, it is recommended, it's better, it's mustahab, that we do wudu, or the ritual ablution, and then start reciting the Quran, because we need to be in a state of purity before we start reciting the word of God. And there is one point here which is important, and that is, if you want to touch the letters and words of the Holy Quran, wudu is compulsory. So wudu is only recommended and not compulsory when we want to only recite the Holy Quran. But when we want to touch the words and the letters of the Holy Quran, it is not allowed that one touches the word and the letters of the Holy Quran without the purity, without ablution, or without wudu. So it is the word of God, and this is a sort of respect to the words of God, to the word of God, that we cannot touch it without being in the state of purity. So, and it's interesting that it doesn't make any difference which word or which letter you want to touch. Even if you want to touch the name of Satan, Shaytan, in the Holy Quran, but you have to be in the state of purity, because although it's the name of Satan, the evilest creature of in the world, in the existence, but because it is in the Holy Quran, because it is part of the Word of God, we need to be in the state of purity. So for touching the letters and the words of God, of the Holy Quran, we need to be in a state of wudu and purity. But if someone wants to only recite the Holy Quran without touching the letters, then it would be only recommended, it would be only mustahab to do ablution and not wajib. The second thing, the second manner that we need to observe, or it is recommended to observe, is to brush your teeth in order to have fresh breath. And then the third one is sit respectfully and face the Qibla. It is better that when we want to recite the Holy Quran, we sit toward the Qibla. And also to sit respectfully, because I have seen in some of the countries, the person is reciting the Holy Quran, but not in a polite way, not in a polite manner. I mean, the way he sits, or actually I saw in some of the countries that people lie down on the earth and start and get the Mus'haf or the Quran in their hand, and just as reading a novel or any ordinary book, they just lie down and recite. So they do the same thing for the Quran, which is not respectful. So when we want to recite the Holy Quran, we should be aware that we are now sitting before the holiest word, the holiest book, which is the word of God. So we need to be to sit respectfully. And the fourth point here is to look at the verses. Actually, you may ask that, how can one recite the Holy Quran without looking at the verses? The answer is clear. There are people who have memorized the Holy Quran, all of it, and they can recite the whole Quran by heart. But even for those who memorize the Holy Quran, all of it or parts of it, it's better to look at the verses, to look at the verses of the Quran and the words of the Holy Quran. It is recommended, because even looking at the words of the Holy Quran is considered as an act of worship. And furthermore, even if someone cannot recite the Holy Quran, someone has not learned the Holy Quran, or even an unlettered person who does not know the letters, only looking at the words of the Holy Quran, at the verses of the Holy Quran, is considered as an act of worship, which shows the great status of the Holy Quran as the Word of God. So here we say that even if you know by heart the verses that you want to recite, but it's better to look at the Quran and recite the verses from the book. The fifth point is Start recitation with Al-Isti'adha and Basmala. This is also derived from the Holy Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So it's an order from the Holy Quran itself and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, that when you want to recite the Holy Quran, استعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Do استعاذة. Now, what is استعاذة? استعاذة means to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم means I seek refuge in Allah from the cast شيطان, or from Satan. And then after seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Satan, then we need to do basmala. Basmala means to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. The sixth manner that we need to observe in reciting the Holy Quran is read clearly and distinctly without rushing. We want to recite the Quran, we want to get the blessings of the Holy Quran, so it doesn't matter it's better to focus and to recite it in a clear and distinct manner. Rushing and reciting very quickly and very fast doesn't have any point. There is no point in reciting quickly and speedily. What point is there in reciting the Quran so quickly? Yes, for some people, for those who are memorizing the Holy Quran or who have already memorized the Holy Quran, these people need to review their memorizations. So they need to review the parts of the Holy Quran that they have memorized previously in order to keep it in mind. So for these people, there would be no problem to recite the Quran quickly just for the sake of reviewing. But when a person is not reviewing, the person is only reciting the Holy Quran as an act of worship, then there's no point in reciting quickly and fast. Consider the seventh point is consider the meaning deeply. As Imam Sajjad says in As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya, O Allah, make the Quran a ladder by which I may climb to the place of safety. So again, it's an emphasis on the point that we need to focus on the meaning of the Holy Quran. And this point is related somehow to the previous one, because we have been told and we have been ordered to recite the Holy Quran and contemplate upon the meaning of the Holy Quran and the verses of the Holy Quran. And for sure, if you want to focus on the meaning, if you want to concentrate on the meaning of the verses and the words of the Holy Quran, then you cannot do it with a high speed. So we need to recite slowly, and if we recite slowly and with an average speed, then we will be able to reflect on the meanings of the verses of the Holy Quran. The eighth point in the manners is do not leave the Quran open and unattended. So these are all to do with like with the being respectful toward the Holy Quran. Whatever is considered as an insult or as an impolite action toward the Holy Quran should be refrained. So if someone leaves the Quran open and goes to his chores, then this would not be a good and a polite way of treating the Holy Quran. So it's better if you want to go somewhere to do something and we are reciting the Quran, it's better to close the Holy Quran and put it somewhere with respect and then go do our things and come back again and open the Quran. So basically, the main point here is to treat the Holy Quran as the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the utmost level of respect. There are actually other things, other manners for reciting the Holy Quran that you can refer to other books to know about them. So this was the second section of the book. In the third section, we actually start the process of learning the Tajweed. So here we have the pronunciation of the vowels. The basic issue, I mean the first thing that we need before starting the recitation of the Holy Quran is to know the letters, the Arabic alphabet. But even if you know the Arabic alphabet, before that you need to know the vowels, because we cannot recite the Arabic without these vowels. Now, vowels in the Arabic language are divided into two types. There are short vowels and long vowels. In English, we have A, O, U, I, and E as the vowels. But in English, these vowels are themselves part of the alphabet. They are part of the English alphabet. A is part of the alphabet. E, I, O, U, all of them, they are part of the English alphabet. However, in the Arabic language, the vowels are not included in the Arabic alphabet. Especially the short vowels are basically not in the Arabic alphabet. So we need to learn them, and each and every Arabic alphabet needs to carry some sign to show how it should be pronounced. Now, starting with the vowels, first we have the short vowels. Short vowels are three: fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Fatha is a small sign which is put on the top of the letters, and the equivalent of fatha in the English could be the A in some of the words, like A in the word bad. This A has the same sound, almost, not exactly and precisely, but almost it has the sound of fatha. A, bad, dad. So this A, which comes from the letter A in dad, is somehow the equivalent of fatha in the Arabic language. So we have ba, ta, da, tha, ja, ha, kha, da, and until the end of the alphabet. And then, so this is about fatha. The second short vowel that we have here is kasra. Kasra is a sign similar to fatha in the shape. The shape is totally similar to fatha. The only difference is fatha is put on the top of the letters, but kasra is put under the letters. There is an important point regarding the pronunciation of kasra in Arabic. In some of the languages, this kasra is pronounced like e, which is wrong. So, what is the sound of the kasra in Arabic? Kasra in Arabic is totally like e. It is, the sound of kasra is completely like e, but a very short e. So the same way that we say we, me, see in English, the same sound is used for pronouncing the kasra. So if kasra is put beneath the letter ba, we say b. So it's e, but short, b, t, d. And that's why we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. B. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the third short vowel that we have is Dhamma. Dhamma is a sign which looks like waw, the letter waw in Arabic, but it's very small and it's put on the top of the letters. Again, in the pronunciation of Dhamma, there is an important point, and that is that Dhamma is pronounced exactly like oo, like oo, but very short. It's not like o. So as in English we have o and u. O u, as we say in this sentence. O u. So the first one is o. The second one is u. U. This u is the exact pronunciation of dhamma in Arabic, but it's short. So we say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. So in the letters we have بُ. بَ with ضَمَّة is pronounced بُ. تُ. دُ. سُ. So they're all like this. Short, but exactly like U. And then we have the pronunciation of the long vowels. The long vowels are exactly the same as the short vowels, and the only difference between the short vowels and the long vowels is the length. And it is clear from the name, short vowels and long vowels. So the long vowels have the same pronunciation as the short vowels, but longer. The only difference is the length. So, if we stretch the fatha for one count, or one measure, or let's say half a second, we need to prolong the fatha and make it two counts, or two measures, or 1 second, to pronounce aliful mad, or the long vowel of fatha, which is aliful mad. So the long vowel that comes from fatha is aliful mad. The long vowel that comes from kasra is ya'ul mad, and the long vowel that comes from dhamma is wa'ul mad. So if I say bu, bu, one count, it will be dhamma, dhamma, short vowel. But if I double the length, if I double the length of the dhamma and say bu, two counts, twice the length of the dhamma, then it will be wawul mad. Ba, 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 one count is short vowel, fatha. Two counts is long vowel or aliful mad. If I say b, one count, so it is short vowel, it is kasra. If I double the length of the kasra and say b, 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 two counts, then it will be ya'ul mad. And as well as vowel mad, which I explained in the beginning. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.